If you take your Bibles and open up with me to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 15, I want to finish this great book. We started out with chapter 1 and verse 1, and we've been going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and here we are in chapter 15. The first 10 chapters, oh, what an exciting time it was. It dealt with the first 3.5 years of Christ's ministry. Hey, we studied his teaching and preaching, his miracles that we saw him do, from cleansing the lepers to giving life back to a dead person. And we see him not only raise the dead, but calm the storms and feed the multitudes. It was an amazing ministry. And it just goes by so quickly. And then we came to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, we saw the last week. The last verse, 6 chapters, deal with that last week of the life of Jesus. Mark slows it down for us. And there's a reason. He wants us to take a good look at the last week of the life of Jesus. There's many, many, many lessons for us to learn about Jesus. And so he slows it down. And it's interesting, if you notice in all of the Gospels, over half of the Gospels, you know, you get halfway through, and then it focuses in on the last week of the life of Jesus. Yeah, so all the gospel writers do this, and I don't think it's by chance. It's that God wants us to learn many things about what it is that goes into the plan of salvation, his love, his mercy, his grace. He wants us to understand who he is, his character. And here we are, we're in Mark chapter 15, and I'm going to start with verse 10, kind of a little bit of a review, okay? We kind of covered this already, but Mark 15, chapter 15, verse 10, all right? And here we see Jesus standing before Pilate, and Mark writes, for Pilate knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. And I just couldn't think of a worse reason why to reject Jesus Christ. Because of envy. Because they were jealous of him. Because Jesus could do things they could not do. They could not preach and teach like Jesus. They did not have that power, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that spoke to people's hearts, that changed people's lives. And they were powerless. Yes, and when it came to doing miracles, they couldn't do the miracles that Jesus could do. Whether it was to open the eyes of the blind, whether it was to cast out demons out of someone, or to raise the dead. They didn't have that power. But Jesus did. And they were envious of him. You know, if we hold on to one sin, any sin, it doesn't matter what it is. Here it was the sin of envy. Yeah, this is what it's going to do. It's going to make us want to get rid of Jesus. Yeah, and Pilate saw it. He knew it. Yeah, and here they are, religious leaders. And they're full of envy. And they bring Jesus to Pilate to put him to death. And so Pilate calls him on it. Look down in verse 14. I'm in Mark 15, verse 14. Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And that question is not only for the people of that time, that question is for us. You know, if you're going to reject Jesus, why? What evil thing he has done? There's no truth here. There's no justice here. There's no mercy. There's no grace. Yeah, it says, what evil has he done? Yeah, he hasn't done anything wrong. And they don't answer him. In fact, look what they do. It says, but they cried out all the more, crucify him. Yeah, they didn't answer the question. They didn't want to think about the answer to the question. This is what sin does. And today, it's time for us to let go of sin and hold on to Christ. It says here in verse 15, so Pilate wanting to gratify the crowd. Now, this breaks my heart. You have the Jewish religious leaders rejecting Christ because of envy, and now you have the Roman, all right, the Roman leader of the people rejecting Christ to gratify the crowd. And if you go along with the crowd, you will never please Jesus Christ. You will reject him. The desire of our heart should be to gratify God, not the crowd. Yeah. He wanting to gratify the crowd released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, it's telling us that Jesus was scourged, where they take a whip, and on this whip is many cords. And at the end of the cords, all right, are sharp objects, whether they be stone or glass or metal, all right? And they literally beat a person 39 times with this whip, all right? Just tearing open the flesh. Yeah, Jesus will be bruised and bloodied and beaten. Yeah, and Jesus is willing to go through with this because he didn't want you to go through with this. You see, Jesus is becoming our substitute. He's becoming our Lamb of God. He's taking your place. He's taking my place. He's taking the place of everyone in the world. And everyone who has been born, all right, and everyone who has lived and will live until the day he comes again in the clouds of glory, he is taking their place. He is taking the sins of the world upon himself. Yeah, and he's willing to do this so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be cleansed, so that you can be saved in God's everlasting kingdom. He's willing to pay that price. To us who believe, as we see Jesus on the cross, yeah, as we see him beaten and bloodied and bruised, yeah, we see that God is opening up the door of salvation for all who believe in him. Yeah, to those who don't believe, they just see a man dying a cruel and painful death. Yeah, this is what the chief priests saw because they held on to envy. Yeah, this is what Pilate saw because he wanted to gratify the crowd. And what about you today? Are you here today to please God and to know him and to serve him? Are you fully surrendered to him? Yeah, this is what means everything to Jesus Christ. This is why he went through what he did, so that you can choose to be with him for all eternity. Down in verse 17, they clothed him with purple. After they beat him, they clothed him with purple, which is to represent royalty. It's the power of Rome. And they twisted a crown of thorns. They wouldn't put a golden crown on him, but they put a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they began to salute him. Yeah, like they would to the king. And they were mocking Jesus. They did not believe. But Jesus knew the end result of dying on the cross. He knew that even these people who are mocking him may one day rethink what they had done. He knew that maybe one day that they might believe, and his blood, will forgive them and cleanse them. He wanted to give them a chance. Isn't it interesting? They were so near the Messiah. They were so near Jesus. And yet, they wanted to have nothing to do with him. They saw him. They touched him. And yet, they mocked him. They would not believe. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him on the head with a reed. The New International Version says a staff, something that was hard and solid, all right? Yeah, and spat on him. Yeah, they didn't know who they were doing this to. It says they bowed the knee. And they worshiped him. You know, Jesus wasn't fooled by this mockery. He knew that this was false worship. And today, even as we're in this sanctuary, as we're thinking about all that Jesus went through for our salvation, he's looking at our hearts. He's looking at my heart. And I don't want to worship him like this. When I worship Jesus Christ, I surrender my life completely to him. I don't hold anything back. I recognize that in me, there's no way I can save myself, that I need his shed blood to forgive me and to wash away my sins, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, it's the only way I can have a new life. I need Christ. I need to depend on him. I need to trust him. I need to worship him in the right way. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Yeah, this is what they did with Jesus. Down in verse 21, we can see that because they had beaten him, and Jesus had no rest that night. First, he was arrested in the garden. All right, he had the trials before the Jews, and then early in the morning, he was brought to Pilate. And they beat him, all right? And now they're sending him out trying to carry his cross. And he could not carry the cross. He was weakened by everything that he had experienced. And so they put it upon a person, Simon. Simon of Cyrene. They put the cross upon him, and he carried it for Jesus. It's interesting. It says he's the father of Alexander and Rufus, and we can read about them in the Bible. Yeah, they become disciples, and we read about Simon, and Simon will become a follower as well. Yeah, it tells me that we have a cross to bear. Yeah, today we still carry the cross of Jesus. Life is not easy for any one of us. As followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus Christ, we all have a cross to carry where self must die and Jesus must live out his life within each one of us. And they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink. And it, notice what it says, but he did not take it. Yeah, Jesus did not want anything to ease the pain. He wanted to know, he wants us to know that he took on all the pain and suffering. Nor did he want to take anything in his body that would cloud his mind. He wanted to be able to think clearly and to still try to communicate with God the Father. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments and casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. And now it was the third hour. It's 9 o'clock in the morning when Jesus was nailed to the cross. And in verse 26, in the inscription and the accusation written above it was the King of the Jews. And with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled. Yeah, this scripture comes from Isaiah 53, which we read in our scripture reading this morning. Yeah, it went down to verse 12. We went as far as verse 9. But it was recorded in Scripture. It was written 700 years before Christ was born. No Jewish person should have been surprised when Jesus was nailed to the cross. They should have recognized without a shadow of a doubt that indeed he is the Messiah. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And I'm thankful today that he was numbered with the transgressors. That means he bore your sins and my sins. He took the sins of the world upon himself. Paul writes in the book of Corinthians, he became sin for us so that we can receive the righteousness that perfect, righteous life that Christ lived can be applied to you and to me. And when God looks at us today, he doesn't see sinful people. He sees that through Jesus Christ, that his life is applied to us. He sees the perfect life of his son, Jesus. And that's where I want to be. And that's where I want you to be. It says, And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroyed a temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Yet Jesus could have saved himself, but he wouldn't be able to save you and me if he came down from the cross. Satan was there. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus. Satan was trying to tell Jesus, "Come down from the cross." Yeah, the people would not have believed in him if he would have came down from the cross. They would not have proclaimed him the Messiah. And we will still be lost in our sins. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking among themselves with the scribes said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." No, if you have to see it to believe it, then you do not believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to believe and trust in him and in his word. and even those who were crucified with him. The two thieves, the one on the left, the one on the right. At this time, they are both, they both reviled him. It says, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sixth hour is noon, all right? Until the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock, all right? The earth was kind of covered in darkness at this time, all right? The darkness. Satan trying to get Jesus to come down from the cross. Anybody who does not believe in Jesus lives ultimately in this darkness. To us who have faith, as we look at the cross, we see that Jesus is working out our salvation. He's bearing our sins on the cross, and that only through him and him alone can you and I be saved today. There may be darkness to the world, but to us who believe, there is great light. And in the ninth hour, around 3 o'clock, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I read a story this week. It was about a farmer who lived outside of London, who liked to go into the city of London because he would go to the art museums. And he loved to look at all the different paintings and drawings. And one time as he was going through the museum, he stopped at a painting of the crucified Christ. There he was, arms outstretched, nailed to the cross, blood coming down. And he looked at that cross, and he just couldn't stop looking at it. His heart was touched. And as he was looking at the cross, eventually a tear came down from his eye, and he let out a sigh. And he said, oh, how I loved him. And there in the museum, it kind of echoed around. And people who were looking at other paintings wanted to see what he was looking at. And so they kind of, a half dozen people kind of came over and got near him and started looking at the same picture he was looking at. And there they were, just looking at the crucified Christ. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit was there, but people's lives were touched. And other people started to say, yes, I love him too. Others were crying. It was a magnificent painting indeed. But when you stop to think about what Jesus has done for you, the price he was willing to pay, you will no longer be the same. As you look at the crucified Christ, it changes us. It makes us want to believe. It makes us better people because we do believe. It transforms us. And it saves us. And in verse 37, it said, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. And it says, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It tells us this in the Bible because it wasn't done by a man. It could only have been done by God from top to bottom. And it tells us that we no longer have to sacrifice animals. It tells us that now that Jesus has died, we can go directly to him through by faith, and through his shed blood, we are forgiven. We are saved. And so when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Isn't it interesting that this Roman centurion, he had seen hundreds die. He had seen hundreds put on the cross, maybe thousands, but no one died like Jesus. And as he saw Jesus on the cross, breathed his last, he could not help but say, "Truly, this is the Son of God." What do you see when you look at these words? What do you think about as you think about Jesus dying on the cross for you? Rembrandt van Rijn. Yeah, he's a Dutch artist. He is known because whenever he painted a picture, he would paint himself in the picture. If he painted a picture of a park, and he would have some people going through the park, he would paint himself in. And if he painted a picnic, people having a picnic, somewhere in the painting, you would find his picture. All right? And he did this, and people just loved the fact that he would do this. Well, one day he was inspired, and he decided to paint a picture of the crucifixion of Christ. And wouldn't you know, he painted his picture in that painting. And I thought, well, good for him. We too need to include our pictures. We need to include ourselves as we see Christ crucified, as we see him dying on the cross. You know, and there were people who were standing around. They were the chief priests who were mocking Jesus. There were followers of Jesus there. And then there was this Roman centurion. And I would like to be standing next to him if I were to paint this picture of Jesus dying on the cross. And just agreeing with him, saying, "Yes, truly this is the Son of God." Today you can paint your picture in, all right? Today, choose to put your faith and trust in the crucified Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. And today, though it hurts us to see him suffer, we know that through his suffering, through his stripes, we are healed. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. And by your grace and mercy, we are saved. And Lord, today we just want to give our lives completely to you. Not only do we want to be forgiven, but we want to now live for you. We want to be the men and women you have called us to be. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to reflect your character in all that we say and do. And Lord, bless us. Bless our families and homes and marriages. Oh, Lord, come quickly to take us home to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for accepting us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.